Blessed are the weird people.
Poets.
Misfits.
Painters.
Writers.
Troubadours.
For they teach us to see the world through different eyes.
This is Blessed Are the Weird on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Jacob Nordby.
Hello, hello, my friends and fellow travelers, fellow weirdians from around the world. I'm Jacob Nordby, and this is the Blessed Are the Weird show coming to you today from Empower Radio satellite location here in beautiful Boise, Idaho, where, as we've mentioned before, the sky is bluer and the air is cleaner and everything's just, well, a little bit more awesome. So I'm excited to be joining you again today for another excursion. And actually, we have a new division. As you know, we have the Bureau of Internal Truth and Beauty and the Ministry of Everyday Magic and some things like that, the Department of Mirth. But we've decided to form a new division here, and we're going to call this the Division of Excitement and Adventure. And from the newly formed Division of Excitement and Adventure comes a quote from Paulo Coelho, one of my favorite authors. Paulo Coelho, in his book, The Pilgrimage, and here's what it says. The boat is safer anchored at the port, but that's not the aim of boats. The boat is safer anchored at the port, but that's not the aim of boats. So, Paulo Coelho, The Pilgrimage. And that actually brings us to the very interesting and exciting guest we have for you today, Kurt Kuntz, who has made a journey on the Camino de Santiago in Spain. And I may have said that slightly off. Kurt will be able to correct me in just a moment here. But Kurt is a gentleman right here from Boise, Idaho, and studied business at the University of Puget Sound. He had a really great career at Micron and traveled the world for business. Then he retired when he was 36 years old and started doing adventure travel and did a lot of biking around Europe and Western U.S. and Canada. But something happened that changed his life when he did the 500-mile Camino de Santiago, the Spanish pilgrimage route, which dates back from the medieval times. And the quote I just read to you from Paulo Coelho is a book, and that was the first time I was aware of this old pilgrimage, the book The Pilgrimage. And so it was a mystical, kind of fascinating book. And then later, more recently, I watched the film called The Way with Martin Sheen and another beautiful story. So I was really excited to bring Kurt on when I found out about him and the book which he is writing, which we'll talk about during the show. So without further ado, Kurt, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, Jacob, thank you so much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here and tell you all about the Camino.
Yeah, and I want to hear that. And before we go there, Kurt, it's neat that you and I have met in person. I've met a couple of my other guests in person, but you live right here in Boise and share a love for this town. So you know what I'm talking about when I said everything's just a little more awesome, don't you?
You know, it's a wonderful place to be. Yesterday, I found myself up on my mountain bike in the hills, and I was looking down on the city, and I just feel lucky to live here. It's a wonderful, wonderful place.
Well, you've traveled the world and seen some amazing things all over the place. And you know what? Why don't you tell us just briefly about, you had a corporate career and then you made a decision to retire early. And I mean, I just have to hallucinate that you ended up with $10 million or something that made that easy. Is that the case or not?
Oh, that's pretty funny. You know, Jacob, I was really fortunate. Right out of college, I got a job at Micron Technology, which is a large employer in Boise, and it's actually a New York Stock Exchange listed company now. And I started there in the early days. I loved every minute of it. I was in sales. I traveled to every state in the nation, several foreign countries, and really had a great time there. I left the company in 1994, and then after that, I did a little bit of consulting work, and I tended to help small high-tech startup companies with their sales efforts. And around the year 2000, I sat back and I really thought, what's more important, the time or the money? And I decided to kind of jump the shark and see if I could retire. And like you said, I did not leave the company or my consulting business with sacks of money. I left with a decent amount, but I'm not an internet gazillionaire by any stretch of the imagination. I just pared back my life to a point where what do you really need? And what I need is a lot of freedom.
Yeah, boy, that's fascinating. Well, tell us about that, because Kurt, that's one of the things that a lot of people come to me and they say, look, I feel like I've been locked. And people kind of, I just turned 40, and people in their mid 30s, all the way up into, you know, into their 40s, 50s, 60s, I have them coming to me saying, wow, I would really love to experience a different kind of life. But I just feel so obligated, and I have so many attachments to the way things are. I just feel too afraid to make a big change like that. What gave you the courage to see outside that box and really, truly do something different?
You know, Jacob, it really comes down to one of the reasons I took this trip. And I am more fearful of being stuck in a routine and waking up one day and being old and looking back at a very repetitive nature of life. So some people would have fear of doing what I did. I have fear of getting stuck in a routine.
So by nature, it sounds like you're given a little bit more leverage on your fears than many people are. But what would you tell someone who says, man, I really have, I mean, because people who show up and don't have the desire, they're not going to, you have nothing to say to them anyway, but you've been out speaking. You must have people come to you frequently, Kurt, and ask you questions like this. What do you tell them?
Well, first off, go for it. Go with your gut. One of the things that happened on the trail over there, you walk 500 miles and the entire way is marked by these little yellow arrows, and they come in many forms, but they're painted on buildings, on bridges, on poles or whatever. And so I kind of throughout the trip had just this theory of, you know, the path you're on and signs. Well, there are signs in your life and pay attention to them. And if your gut is telling you that you're in the wrong career, that you're in the wrong relationship, whatever is not right, if it doesn't feel good, do what you can to get on the right path. And a little bit of kind of go with the flow. And obviously, people, you can't just throw caution to the wind. You have responsibilities to lovers, to your family, financial constraints, et cetera. But step out a little bit and live. And one of the things I do in my speeches quite often is I remind people, you can take a Camino in many forms. You don't have to fly to Spain and walk 500 miles. You can take a Camino by driving home from on a different route from work. You can take a Camino from vacationing somewhere new, learning a new hobby. It comes in many forms. Again, my biggest message is don't keep doing exactly what you did yesterday, for staleness will set in.
You know, I find it fascinating, Kurt, that you're speaking so much the language of blessed are the weird here. This is exactly what we're talking about. It's called seeing the world through different eyes. And when we, you know, I'm sure you've studied and read some of the different ones, but like Gurdjieff and different people who teach conditioned humans how to step outside of their box. And that sounds like such a cliche, like get out of your box. But what you just described, it's as simple sometimes as trying something like putting on pants with the left leg first rather than always the right leg. I mean, truly just having a different experience. Now, you traveled Europe before you did the Camino. You traveled Europe and did a lot of biking and all that stuff. How was that? Was that the experience you had in terms of even being in places where they didn't speak your habitual language and things? Did you notice that?
Did I notice the language differential? Or I'm not sure I understand your question, actually.
Yeah. Did you notice how every different way of experiencing the world, whether it was the food or the language or the currency or just the landscape, did you notice how it actually shifted the way you saw the world in general? Like you were forced to see the world recognize?
Definitely. And you know, just to be in that environment, and it gets back to the whole idea of the trip. If you put, for me and myself, when I put myself in an environment where everything is just a little bit beyond my comfort zone, that's where I thrive, and that's where I grow, and that's where I learn, and that's where I expand. So you take a trip like this, the location is foreign. It's as foreign as it gets. I'm in Spain. I don't speak the language at all. I'm used to traveling in really comfort. And over there, you sleep in hostels that are, you sleep in bunk beds. And, even the activity, I'm fortunate to be pretty physically active. I'm not a walker. I'm much more of a biker. And in being outside of my kind of comfort zone in all those areas, yeah, that's where the action happens. That's where you grow. And I think a nice part of that, You know, there's the concept of living in the now, and it's stated so many different ways. Being over there, you're challenged constantly. You don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going to sleep that night. You're not even sure that, you know, you don't know the next person you're going to meet. You don't know what your lunch is going to be. You're just kind of, you're always challenged. When you're challenged, it sucks you into the now. Mm. So I was fortunate to be challenged for 30 straight days and never had a chance to wander into, I certainly had time to go into my future and past, but the bulk of the time is spent in the now. And that is the beauty of a trip like that.
Okay, so let's just dive right in because I really want to hear it. And by the way, before we go there, tell us the name of the book which you are going to be releasing later this year, Kurt.
The book is titled A Million Steps, and that is the actual number of steps it takes to walk 500 miles on the Camino de Santiago. And we're deep, deep into the fourth draft right now. Me and my editor are targeting July 15 to be done with the writing. And then after the formatting and cover design and everything, we're hoping to launch in September.
Outstanding. So A Million Steps, and I'm looking at your Facebook page right now, which, by the way, is Kurt Kuntz Author. So Facebook, you just search for Kurt Kuntz, and you'll probably find the page here. A Million Steps, and the subtitle is A Story of Life, Love, and Addiction on and Off the Camino. So before we, for those who aren't familiar with the Camino, Kurt, give us just what is the Camino, and then I want to hear how it was you made the decision to take that epic walk.
Sure. The Camino is a fascinating trail. The people have been walking on this exact same path for 1,300 years, which sends chills down my spine to even think about that. It started out very much as a Christian pilgrimage. And in the in 44 AD, St. James, who is believed to have been an apostle of Jesus, he went to Jerusalem where he was promptly beheaded. His body was put on a ship and sent back down to Spain where he had preached. His body was found covered in scallop shells, and the scallop shells are a large symbol for the Camino. And ultimately, at his gravesite, they built the Cathedral de Santiago. So 1 million people in the Middle Ages walk from their front doors of their homes from all throughout Europe to arrive at this cathedral, and again, the Christian pilgrimage was seeking penance from St. James. Since that time, another million pilgrims have taken this same journey. And the modern-day pilgrim, much different. First off, we don't walk from our front doors, and when we get there, we don't turn around and walk back home, which is astounding that they did that. Today's pilgrim, some are religious, some are spiritual, some are atheist, some are seeking a physical challenge, some are seeking a bridge to whatever it may be, to retirement, to a new relationship, to some are facing death, just a wide variety of reasons. But it really amazed me that 2 million people for 1,300 years were attracted to this one path. And that's pretty chilling.
It is pretty chilling. And there's some significant markers along the way, are there not?
Oh, there's definitely. Every day you're walking through history. I mean, you cross a bridge, and that bridge was likely built by the Romans when they invaded the country. The cathedrals are incredible. The scenery is incredible. The places you stay, they've been serving pilgrims for that entire period. I mean, you sleep in structures that are 1,000 years old. It's very historical.
Yeah, and that's an experience we don't really have much in the Western, in America. We don't have that powerful sense of, whoa, this has really been there. You know, these feet have touched this ground. But roll back just for a minute. So you were traveling around Europe. You were having this experience of adventure as a young retired guy. Tell me what turned your head. What made you decide that the Camino was something you needed to do?
Well, there's a gentleman I met about 7 years ago, happiest person to this day I've ever met in my life. And all this person does is volunteers to help other people. And I was astounded at that. I understand the concept now, but at the time I did not. And his entire life, this man lives penniless, which to me is amazing. And he told me that he was going to walk the Camino. And Jacob, I quite frankly thought he was a bit wacko. I thought, well, you're going to go do what? You're going to go to Spain? You're going to walk on a trail? And it sounded pretty bizarre to me. Fast forward several years, and I also was fortunate to see the movie called The Way, which you had mentioned earlier, and it was a great film, and I just right there in the theater said, I'm going to do that sometime, and that's what my friend Scott did. So a couple years went by, and I was just kind of waiting for the right time, and last September, the sun, the moon, and the stars lined up, and I made the decision to go, and the time between making the decision and being there was 21 days. So when I decided to go, I just went for it. I went down and bought a pack and threw some stuff in it and practiced walking around the hills and flew to Spain and did it.
Amazing. Amazing. So tell me how it felt. So you got over there. And of course, as you say, you're active. It's not like you're, you know, wildly overweight or some kind of a physical mess when you get over there. But you get over there. Did you start to have some sort of a sense of destiny or, okay, this is going to be bigger? Or when it started out, was it just a walk for you?
Jacob, the beautiful part of this, I went to Spain with zero expectations. I didn't know what was going to happen, and I decided to just go with the flow and kind of let it be. It was pretty amazing of how quickly you realize this is unlike any other trip I've ever taken anywhere. It's almost like they hand out a little narcotic or something at the beginning of the trip because everybody's happy. And all the people I'm with are happy. And the happiness grows as time goes on. And kind of a little metaphor for the trip, the terrain is broken up into three areas. At first, you cross on the first day a large mountain. That's the Pyrenees Mountains, which separate France from Spain. And you're in France for 10 miles the first day. Then it's the next, 490 miles are in Spain. The first 200, it's some rolling hills. The second portion is long and flat. That area is called the Meseta, and that lasts for approximately 120 miles. The final 200 miles, you end up in a real rich, lush rainforest-type environment, so very similar to the Washington State or Oregon coast areas. Lots of big trees, lots of greenage, lots of mountains, hills, etc. They say the first portion of the trip is for the body. And couldn't be more accurate. Your body changes. You build stamina, you build strength, you get blisters, you have pains, whatever it may be. The middle portion of the trip, in this long, flat area, it's almost a Don Quixote-type area. And your mind is literally almost blown free during that period. The last portion of the trip, in this rainforest, they say is for the soul. And it truly is, Jacob. You soak up so much beauty, whether it's from nature, from the friends you're with, from the accomplishment that you've walked all this way, whatever it may be. You just kind of soak it in. Then you arrive at this cathedral in Santiago, and it's the end of the road. And just a joyous journey. It's hard to put into words what really happens on a daily basis now this metamorphosis occurs. And that's what I try to explain in the book. But it not only happened to me, it happened to every person I was with. Really, really a touching experience.
So, Kurt, something that occurred to me as you're giving that and what you said earlier about people walking the trail with the way with all these different perspectives, whether it's religious or just sort of a spiritual experience or just atheist or just exercise, something to do for fun. One thing that I've noticed is that we infuse the rituals in our lives with the power that they have. All right. In other words, nothing really means anything by itself. The way doesn't mean anything by itself. It's just another trail in its own way. But by common agreement, millions of humans have walked it and have invested it with enormous power. And I find it interesting that you had that experience without the expectation, perhaps. And I noticed, like, in the way, the lady who was smoking the cigarettes and was trying to use the way as a way to kind of cleanse her soul, it seemed like, and perhaps put down an addiction. You used the word addiction in your subtitle. Can you tell me about that? What's going on there?
Oh, I can. Jacob, there's a pretty big history of alcohol in my family. And my grandfather died of alcoholism at a young age. My father died of alcoholism at age 66. And I drank way too much. And when my father died in 2001, I threw in the towel and I quit completely. And it's when you step out of that fog and you kind of move forward in your life, it's pretty revealing. So in the book, not only do I touch on the Camino, I talk about some relationships I've had with some wonderful women. I talk about my history with alcohol and a number of other topics.
Did you notice that your journey gave you clarity or insight into some depths or some corners that you hadn't noticed about those things before?
Yeah, there's no question about it. It gave me so much reflection. When you on this trail over there, I walked roughly 18 miles a day, and I would say 80% of that time, by choice, I was alone. So you have so much time just to think, and these thoughts kind of come into your head just in such random manner, and your head is so clear that it's just fertile ground for new thoughts to germinate and develop. And in that environment, it's not like there's a eureka moment. You don't get to a certain kilometer marker and realize, okay, now I figured it all out. but by just experiencing, you know, a good cup of coffee, a good new friendship, a beautiful sight of nature, it kind of ignites an inner flame in you that is pretty powerful. And it really reminded me, you know, as I've been home here, to really pay attention to the small things. It's not the big things in life that, you know, it's not the retirement, the graduation, the having the baby, the whatever it is. It's the day-to-day stuff that's under your nose that makes it all really worthwhile. And that was very much reinforced on the Camino.
Let me ask you this. You said, I think you said before, but I want to hear it again. How long did it take you to actually walk the way?
1 month. I actually had 28 days of walking, and I was there. I think I was gone from Boise about 35 days total. Okay. Most people do it somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks. And certainly there's, you know, some that, you know, that do it faster and some that take a couple months. But 4 to 6 weeks is a pretty good number.
Okay. So you were pushing pretty good. Looks like we're about, I can't believe this, Kurt. We're down to 3 minutes before the music, you know, kicks us off the air here. What would you say about this particular adventure in your life? What would you say the biggest thing you learned about yourself or about kind of where to go from here for yourself?
Well, I would say, this whole trip is a journey, you know, it's the classic journey. And a portion of the way through the trip, I realized, you know, there's a finality in Santiago. And at the beginning, it's so far away that you don't really realize it. But all of a sudden, there's 12 days, just like this call here, we're done in 3 minutes. Pretty soon, you're done in 2 days, and then you're in Santiago, and now it's 8 months of history. Mm. So with that, I really, truly believe the whole story of the destination versus the journey, man, enjoy the destination. Mm-hmm. And since coming home, I never thought I'd write a book. I've had the time of my life writing this book. I never thought I'd do public speaking. I'm speaking somewhere at least once a week. I find joy in spending time with you on this show. I find joy in finding people that are helping me with this effort. I find joy in meeting new people all the time. And whether the book is a super success or Oprah calls me or whatever, I don't really care, because the fun is in the kind of stuff we're doing right here, right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Kurt, I know, because I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, I tell almost all of my guests on the show that we get to read minds. When people tune into Blessed or the Weird, they agree to let us read their minds. So I know that your story, even on this half-hour show today, has inspired some people to think about looking for a Camino in their everyday life. I'm confident of that. And I want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you and make sure that they are aware when your book comes out and, you know, there's going to be people listening here who probably will want you to come speak to their group. So, your website is Kurt, K KurtKoontz.com, and there's two K's in there, KurtKoontz, KurtKoontz.com. And Kurt, we're down to about a minute. Tell folks what they'll find when they go there and connect with you.
Yeah, there's a lot. I have a blog on there that has an entire history of the whole trip, and then also a lot of my thoughts and reflections since I've been home. So I hope people will take a look at the blog. There's information where you can sign up for a newsletter, which has information on when the book will be released and upcoming speaking events and things of that nature. And then I have a lot of photographs, and I think I have about 80 of them up on the site there. And if people want more, if they'll just send me an email or get a hold of me through Facebook, whatever they'd like to do, I'll be more than happy to share more links of more photographs. And I'll talk to anybody. If anyone wants to just call me, 208-345-6421. Love to talk to anybody anytime about the experience and the trip.
That's so cool. Kurt, what an inspiration to talk with you. And you and I need to go out and do a little hike. We'll do a mini Camino right here in Boise, maybe do Table Rock or something pretty soon. But it's a real pleasure to have already met you once. And I know we're gonna spend some time together. Maybe someday even go out and do the Camino again. Thanks so much for being here, Kurt.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor, and I really appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Thanks, all of you around the world, fellow travelers and blessed Weirdians. We thank you for being with us today. Thanks to Empower Radio for providing space for this show. Come back next week where we're going to be talking with Dixie Dynamite and her book, Just Blow It Up. Thanks again. Have a great day.